what I want to do is I want to put you in front of thousands of people. Okay, and the reason I want to do that is because I think you're an absolutely fantastic photographer. And I don't say that just because you're a great guy and you're easy to work with and you're flexible and you're very accommodating. Those are all great assets, but I think you have a skill that very few people have. And it's how you can capture the photos that you do. And my expression is you take photos that I don't hate, right? And when I say photos, I'm talking about photos of myself. And I think everybody listening to this right now understands that they probably don't like the photos of themselves. And these are photos that they take of themselves. And or people take of them, and these are not professional photographers. So what happens is they don't necessarily put you in your best light. So the first thing is that you do is you know how to capture people in their best light.
Yep.
But before we get to that, I'd like you to tell me just a little bit about something that's changed in the industry. And tell me about the digital camera and how that's affected people's perception of value. And before you do that, for people who are listening, the reason we're doing this interview is because this is so key to everybody's business. And it was so powerful when we had our mastermind session for the platinum members.
Yeah.
I thought, I when you were saying it, I said, I have to tell this to more people. And unfortunately, because people aren't platinum members and they're not paying the price, you know, for the most elite program that we have, this little nugget of information, I want to make sure that thousands of people get access to. Because we're going to talk about two things today. This will be the first one. So tell me, and if you're listening to this, just apply to your industry, obviously, and you'll see what the permutations are, and I'll just review them after. But tell me about how, 20 years ago, before the digital camera came about, how people perceived the value that you created, and now how all of a sudden, with this new digital camera, and this is the digital photo camera as well as the film camera, how all of a sudden their perception has completely shifted the industry, but more importantly, shifted how they perceive the value of the product that they're now creating for themselves that's nowhere close to what you can do.
Okay, well, probably one of the biggest things is if we go back 5, 10 years,
we don't even have to go 20 years.
That when you employed a professional photographer, you had someone who you were assured would get a result, and not just a result, but if we talked earlier about taking 400 or 500 photos, if I take 500 photos, I expect to get 500 photos. That my level of technical expertise and artistic ability and knowledge of the equipment and the day and working with people is such that I should get every one. If I lose one, it's because there's some strange thing like an equipment failure or someone walked in front of the camera I didn't see out of the corner of my eye. Correct it straight away. There's not two shots in a row you ever lose. So if I take 500, I expect to get 500. If I lose one, I'm upset, but I can live with it. When I take those, I have to have the assurance that technically the equipment is perfect, my knowledge of the equipment is perfect, and I won't see a result for a day or two or a week until it goes through the lab. So I have to know, as I'm taking the shot, that every shot is just right in all the dimensions of quality. What's happened now is that people don't have to wait a week or 2 weeks. They look on the back of the camera and think, oh, I've got a result, I'm happy. Why do I need a professional? One of the major differences is that the shot I would have taken on the equipment I was using would have been, in terms of any metric you use on quality, whether it's the sharpness, you know, the resolution, the color saturation, whether it's the light balance, you take any measurement, every one of those is at its peak. And the reason for that is they'll be using, you know, the best lens, the best film of the time, the best processing, printed by me, color balanced by me, every single element in the process. And one of the things that if you're measuring quality, it's very much like Mark, your perception of exponential growth. It also works in reverse, exponential degradation. If you lose 5% at every stage, if the lens is pretty good but only 5% off the best, film is 5% off the best, if your exposure is pretty close but now 10% out, 5 plus 5 plus 10, pretty soon you're down to 50% quality and you're on your way down pretty quick to the point where it's pretty well rubbish.
And plus, you as a photographer, and this is, you are able to capture the essence, and I can say this because of the person we were talking about earlier, a world-renowned peak performance expert, and you took, I don't remember, for over 4 days, how many pictures you took.
Hundreds and hundreds,
yeah.
Maybe 400 or 500.
Yeah, let's say it was 500. So out of the 500 pictures, there must have been easily 100 of them that you had captured. Some of them, you know, group shots because there were thousands of people in the stadium and stuff like that, but there's at least 100 of them where you captured the essence of the exact moment when this person, who's very expressive and very bigger-than-life kind of a guy, you capture the essence right at that instant where all of a sudden That happened.
And I've got two great stories that relate to that. And one is, this is probably an inspirational moment in history. I love this story because I don't know if anyone recalls the Battle of Stalingrad with the Germans versus the Russians.
Oh, I wasn't there.
There was one inspirational person there, a guy called Vasily Zaitsev, who was a sniper, and he inspired the Russian troops against the Germans when they were being trounced by a million-strong army. What he had the ability to do was, even though it's a terrible thing, to pick a moment in time. If a soldier was walking between two buildings, he could pick the instant when he could fire that moment. He didn't react a tenth of a second before or after. He was spot on.
Yep.
And he was an inspiration to a whole nation because he could pick a moment in time. There was no hero of Stalingrad who was a machine gunner. And today there are so many photographers who are machine gunners. They are out there, they've got their motor drive running, they're firing like crazy, they shoot 500 photos on motor drive, they'll go through, pick two or three out, delete the rest and go back again. They're hoping that somewhere in the machine gun process that they're going to get the shot they want.
Yeah.
Whereas I like the inspiration of Vasily the sniper. He waited for his moment, he waited patiently, and when the opportunity came up, he was there and fired, in my case, the trigger of the shutter button, at the moment when everything was just right. And so I spent so much time watching the subject, and my ability to react to that instant, to see it, and know my camera will be set, everything's fine, the exposure's right, the focus is fine, and I'll respond instinctively when my mind sees it. And it's not the same as seeing it and go, I better fire now. It's very much an unconscious thing. So I'm at the stage of unconscious confidence with that
correct.
I see it and my body just reacts to it. And I don't know if you know it, I'm also a champion archer, and I have an international rating in archery.
Oh, I didn't know that. That explains a lot.
I'm a master bowman. I have a rating from the Federation of France.
Wow.
And have competed to the point where I almost made the Olympics. But,
wow.
But that's very similar. That's a case
of... course it is.
You have everything set up, you're holding the bow, you're looking at the target, and the bow's moving around in the wind, but you have to pick the moment when everything is just right, when that sight's on, and that's when you fire. And that also is an unconscious thing. When everything lines up, suddenly react, and the arrow's... you don't even think about it. It's just
an
unconscious reaction, just a release. And it's already... you have the vision, you see the arrow going into the target before it even gets there.
Correct.
And with photography, it's the same thing. That when I'm taking the shot, I have a vision in my mind of what I want to get out of that expression, and when it suddenly all gels, when I see it, my body just reacts. I don't think about it. Suddenly my finger presses the button, and there's the moment. Whereas other photographers who aren't at the level of conscious competence, they'll see the shot and they go, it's gone. And it's too late. It's too late to think about it. If you wait half a second,
the
moment's gone.
And the difference between the machine gunner and the sniper is not aiming to injure.
No.
The sniper is taking care of the target, to eliminate the target. The machine gunner is just injuring a lot of people, creating a lot of bloodshed, but not achieving the outcome. And in business, people who are out there machine gunning expend way more effort, they spend way more time, bullets and ammunition and equipment and supply and all that stuff, whereas the sniper is the absolute most efficient individual. Having said that, the other aspect, though, of how people perceive that now what they've done is they've gone click, 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 and we've seen it, and now, even with the mobile phone that I have on the desk right here, that you can capture pictures. Now, some of them are just, it's an idea, it's a thought, it's whatever, and the actual visual quality is irrelevant, because you just want to capture that idea to remember it, 2-3 weeks later and take action on it as a business person, and we teach that as an exponential growth strategy. But from the point of view of the perception of quality, that they just accept now that this is all they can really get.
It's an image. And
tell me about that, how they've lowered their own expectation. And we're not talking about just people pictures at the pub on Friday night. We're actually talking about people doing this now at their weddings.
Yeah.
So 20 years from now, when their kid's saying, "Mom and Dad, can I see the pictures?" Some of them are these, these grainy pictures that have been taken.
Well, to give you an idea of how quality has changed, that when professionals were using cameras 10, 15 years ago, there was a segregation of the market into 35mm versus large format photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And large format photographers would shoot on what's called a 6x6 negative.
Yeah.
If you were to scan a 6x6 neg now, it would give you a file of about 80 to 90 megapixels. And you still can. You can scan film to that level. People are accepting the best professional cameras they're using at the moment. They're up to about 20 megapixels. But for many years, people are using cameras that are...
So you hang on a sec, just so we're clear, because I know what you said, but I just want to make sure the person's listening to this. At a 6x6, it's 80 to 90
megapixels of information.
And now a professional photographer will be at how much?
They're using maybe 6 to 10.
Maybe 6 to
10. 6 to 10 on a digital camera.
So that's 1/8. That's 1/8.
That's 1/8 of the resolution.
Of the resolution. So you cannot possibly get to that quality.
And that's only one dimension, because people tend to measure digital quality in terms of XY coordinates.
Yeah. Sure.
Width by depth, how many pixels. There's a third dimension everyone forgets about, which is the amount of information that's kept in terms of the color saturation.
Correct.
And also the exposure range, the latitude. Digital is notoriously low in latitude. It has a range of 2 to 3 stops, which is very limited. Film has a range of 8 to 9 stops. You can
I understand what that is, because I worked in the digital printing industry for 20 years. Can you explain what the stops are?
A stop is, for a stop represents a doubling of the amount of light. So if you start off with a neutral gray, which is roughly like the color of, you know, the grass, if you go to 2 times as bright as that is fairly bright, 4 times as bright as 2 stops. So every doubling of the light amount is called a stop.
Okay.
From gray.
And what does that mean for the average person? Does it how does it look better?
Well, for the usual range of exposure from gray to white is about 2 to 3 stops. So if you get everything in 2 to 3 stops, you've got most of the detail. In digital photography, if you overexpose in the white area, there is nothing. If you look on the back of your digital camera, often there'll be a graph and a scale which runs from 0 to 255. There's nothing beyond 255. Once it's up to 256, it's zero.
It's zero.
There's nothing there. You cannot go beyond that point. So that's your 2 stops range. Whereas film would go to 500, 1,000, 2,000.
But when you look at it, tell me what...
What you see...
For an amateur, and obviously this is an audio, so it's hard to show, but
What you see is a white area that is absolutely blank with no detail. If you were to take a photograph, for example, of a tablecloth that had a pattern on it.
Yeah. You just see it as white.
It'd be white. There'd be nothing there you could see. If it was a printed page, it would be a white page, no letters on it, no writing at all. So what you have
So you'd actually lose the black on the white.
Yeah, there's nothing
So you'd
there.
Lose the writing on the white paper.
After 2 stops, you'd lose the writing. And film can...
And that's forever, because you can't get it back.
You can't get it back. No. There's no
You can't readjust it and just play with Photoshop, because you can't get back information that's never there.
Which is one of the pet things a lot of editors in newspapers are finding now, that their photographers are going out thinking they can fix it in Photoshop. They'll go out, they'll shoot a job, they'll come back and look at Photoshop and go, well, I can't. If there's nothing there, I can't correct it.
I was in the printing industry for 20 years, like I told you, digital printing and, traditional printing 25 years ago, but... And that's the problem, is people would come to say, I want to make this poster. I said, great, but you can't enlarge it more than 10 by 14 inches. Why? Because one, there isn't enough resolution, because there aren't enough pixels, and second, like you said, there's
no detail.
There's no detail. So the bigger you make it, the worse it gets. Now these were for commercial applications, to sell products and stuff, so they'd have to go back and reshoot. But what we're talking about, because we're talking about this specifically, is you're talking about memories that can never be regained.
Yeah, events, you got one chance at it.
Because you only get married once. Well, at least you hope you only get married once. When you have a baby, you're only having that baby once. You might have multiple babies. But when you're taking those pictures for an anniversary, for a birthday, for a graduation, for whatever is special in your life.
A lot of things you just cannot reproduce the moment. And when I was talking about the moment in time, it's not just the event day. Sometimes there are things that happen that are candid moments, or there are special times when you pick that moment in time, and that's gone. And often I'll see something and I'll get that moment. Half a second later, the setup's changed and it's gone forever. And as hard as you try, you can't set it up again. You can say, oh, can you go back?
No,
it's not there.
No,
the expression isn't there. It's
whenever you do a double take, and you have to be a really good actor, you know, like a Hollywood-style actor, to say, okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Because the second or third time, it all of a sudden looks like it's forced.
Yeah.
And I'm just learning that, because I do a lot of public speaking. I'm just now learning how to do that for the second time like it's the first time. It's not a skill a lot of people have. So what I want to do now is just recap what we talked about, then we'll talk about
Okay, just finish off, because we were talking about, just tying a few things together, about the difference between taking photos and watching your subject as against the digital photographer. How many photographers, and you see this with amateurs and professionals, they'll take the photo, the next thing they do is they take the camera away from their face and look at the back of the camera to see how it turned out, and they spend more time looking at the back of the camera than they do looking at the subject.
Yes.
And how are you going to pick a moment in time if your attention's on what you've just taken rather than what you're going to be taking next? When you're working as a professional shooting film or even shooting digital, your focus is on the subject. You're looking for that moment and you're investing time watching the whole time, waiting for that moment. Every second,
because you know that technology is going to work.
Yeah. Every second you have your eye away from the viewfinder, looking at what you hope has turned out, it's time wasted when you look up and go, that would have been a good shot to take if only I had my camera pointed at it rather than looking at the back of the camera.
One of the things I find very difficult, and I used to take quite a few pictures when I was younger, when I was in my teens. So in my teens, I was in the 1970s, and so I was an amateur photography buff type of person. And I remember when I used to go click, the picture was taken. Now with these digital cameras, and I don't know if it's just the ones I've bought, you press it.
You're waiting for it to respond.
And you have to do it. You have to wait for it to do something. I don't know if it's trying to boot Microsoft Windows in there or something, but without being glib about it, that split second kills.
It's an intolerable delay.
I mean, I can't take those pictures because I don't know. I can't think like a second and a half to 2 seconds before. Go click, wait, hang on, wait for the light. By then, everyone's got that what I call photo face, that grimace.
Well, one of my favorite stories, and this is going back a long while to when I got into photography, how I actually started. And this is, at school, I had a photographer come in to show some photos. And beautiful photos. They're all taken on 2¼ square, the 6x6, Hasselblad camera. Big gloves, 1 meter square, black and white. And two photos really struck me. One was this craggy old-faced lady that had rivers of lines in her face. A face well used, but so happy, even though she was like 102 in the shade.
Yeah. Pre-Botox.
Yeah. And it was beautiful because you could see every detail and you could see the joy in her face, even though she'd lived a good life, you could see the good life she'd lived. And this is a gorgeous photo. The second photo just struck me so amazingly as well, and he told the story behind it, was of the Woolworths building collapsing in George Street during a fire. And he was the first photographer on the scene, looked up, fireman running from the scene. This is very much like, if you recall, footage of the Hindenburg when it... everyone running from that as it collapsed. Same thing, fire, building collapsing. He sees the building facade about to fall, grabs his camera, not digital, had to manually focus it, manually expose it, point the thing, take the shot. He had one chance to get this photo, picked it up, quickly turned everything into alignment, took the shot, building facade was down. And he said a couple of things that stuck with me to this day that really inspired me. One is he had absolute faith in his equipment. If anything went wrong, it was his fault, but he knew this camera was going to do a good job. He couldn't blame it because he had to focus it, he had to expose it, he had to point the thing and frame it. The other thing he said was that he had to pick his moment because he had to wind his camera on manually. It wasn't motor drive.
Yep.
He had to get all this set in
the
place.
A big crank.
Oh,
yeah, because it was a Hasselblad.
Hasselblad,
right?
giant crank.
On the side, yeah.
The side.
Looks like it was click. Yeah, that's right.
So he had one chance to pick his moment in time. If he had taken it before it started to fall, by the time he got the crank at the building would be down. If he waited too long, the building would be down. So we had to get everything set in place and pick his moment and get his one shot. And it's always stuck with me that the whole combination of his faith in his equipment, his knowledge of his technical skill to get the right exposure, didn't have time to use the light meter, he had to guess the exposure. And the fact that he had to have faith that he was going to pick the right moment out of that. And that stuck with me to the point now where when I go out with other photographers, and this always makes me laugh because I have a lot of people who I train in photography, and they have a digital camera, and I'll be out, and I won't use a light meter. And I will say, okay, it's bright sunlight, we're using 160 ASA film, you're using digital, you need to slightly underexpose, that's 250 at f11. And I'll take it and I'll go, that's right, how do you do that? It's like, I've taken over 1 million photos. And to me it's like, a champion golfer. He doesn't have to use a rangefinder. He sees the hole. He knows it's 160 metres. He looks at it. He pots it within 2 metres of the hole just by feel. And I'm the same with unconscious confidence with it. I'll look at it and I'll go, this is this exposure. Back to that guy with the Hasselblad and the building falling down. He has to know and not rely on the equipment to tell him. He has to know straight away this is what has to be done. Great, if you've got the meter, use it for confirmation, you look at it and go, yeah, okay, all right, no, that, I was right again. But you have to have that level of expertise. You have to know in advance to get that moment because it's all too late, way too long.
So what does this have to do with the person who's listening to this right now? You're a fantastic photographer, and I know that anybody who's listening all to this point, they've been enraptured by your discussion and your stories. And the way and the reason we're having this interview is because you can so clearly articulate for someone who actually is in the visual medium, you articulate in the auditory medium exceptionally well.
Thank you, Mark.
And I say that because it's important, because whoever's listening to this right now, what you need to do as a listener is be able to do the same thing that we're doing with Max here today, is to be able to articulate very precisely what it is that you do for people. So I know that if you're listening to this, you have a better appreciation of what Max does, because now you can understand everything that goes into taking just a picture. But we all know it's not just a picture. Sometimes it might just be a picture because, you know, you're in the moment and you just take that picture. But for the pictures we're talking about, it's important to understand all the levels of thinking and the expertise and the education and the talent and the perseverance and the passion and the interest and the intrigue of being able to figure out where that perfect shot's going to come from. And I think that we all as business people basically sell ourselves short by not telling the stories that we've now told in less than 30 minutes. And less than 30 minutes to capture that value that, and we'll talk about the industry in just a second, so if you listen to this next segment that we're going to talk about, that'll be fantastic. And if you don't, that doesn't matter, because this alone could dramatically change how you can exponentially grow your business. What we've seen, and we've seen this both, I've seen it from a commercial point of view in commercial printing, and you've seen it in, from the photography end of things, where you're talking about consumers and capturing their life's memories so appropriately, is that there's been an absolute dissolution or dissipation or regression or degradation of the perception of quality. And everyone who listens to this would agree that that's the case. That being said, that's a very negative thing to say, because we've all basically been victims of it and have been proponents of it without really realizing that by having a camera in our mobile phones, we're actually decreasing the value that we're expecting from ourselves, because a lot of people don't know that Nokia is the largest camera manufacturer in the world. It's no longer Kodak, it's no longer
Nikon
or Canon or any of the others, or Pentax or all of the others. It's now Nokia, because with every mobile phone that they produce, there's a camera in it. Now, that camera cannot possibly have the same quality as the ones that are cameras that are designed to take pictures properly, you know, with the right apertures and all the things that we talked about. That being said, what does this have to do with business? It has everything to do with the fact that this is happening in every single industry. It's visually appealing and intriguing to talk about pictures and snipers and all that kind of stuff and buildings burning down. But the reality is that in everybody's industry, every single industry, you have the same degradation of quality. And it's our responsibility as business people to make absolutely sure that we, you and I, so Max and I, can articulate clearly that message to our clients. So in my case, I'm now doing it to people listening to this because they're my clients, and then you're going to take this recording and you're going to put it on your website and you're going to distribute it to your client, and now they're going to perceive you differently. And not just perceive you differently, but they're going to appreciate you differently. Because perception is one thing, so wow, you know, Max is a pretty good photographer. But if they can actually appreciate that for themselves by you offering them your service or services and product, then they can be the benefactors of that quality that is a real quality. And we in business all have the same challenge, is that what we cannot do in a lot of cases is articulate that properly unless we do something like this, an interview, where people can see us in the light in which they can assess whether or not the value is there in the first place. So it's like trying to put the cart before the horse. It's like, listen, I can give you this product right here, I'm holding right here. It's a great product, but you're not going to know it until you buy it. So can you buy it? And the person says, well, no, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? So if you can't show, demonstrate, illustrate what that value is, what you have to do is you have to talk about it in a way that we just did right now, so that people can finally open themselves up to saying, you know what, there is a value in that, and yes, maybe today isn't the day, but tomorrow, the day after, the next celebration, the next wedding, the next graduation, the next achievement of a sales award, the next whatever the case may be, I'm going to make use of Max Ucharik as a photographer, or I'm going to seek out a professional photographer, or the next time I do something else that someone has a particular expertise, I'm going to seek out that person. So based on that, for this segment, because we have another segment just coming up, and hopefully people will listen to that as well, but I want to thank you, Max, and to get in touch with
Max,
you can Google Max Ucharik, so that's M-A-X, Ucharik is U-C-H-E-R-E-K, and if you Google him, he comes up first, you know, worldwide, he's the only one. His company's called Max Photographics, but there's special spelling for that, so can you spell it out for
me? MAXXPHOTOGRAFIX.
Can you repeat that one more time?
So it's MAXXPHOTOGRAFIX.
And if you Google that, guess what? You come up and you're all over. You're the only one. There's lots of other photographers, but if you type it in properly in Google worldwide, you absolutely get on the first page. So you're obviously, well ranked and fully indexed in Google. So that's fantastic. So thank you very much for this first segment, Max.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure.